Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, hosted by yours truly, Imp the Great. This is podcast episode number 9. Words and magic were in the beginning, one and the same thing. And even today, words retain much of their magical power. Sigmund Freud.
God or your essential nature is not something. Not content. Not form. The best description through words is to say not what it is not. And then you're left with what it is, which cannot be named, but can be known, but cannot be known conceptually, because every concept is again a name and a form. It can be known simply, easily, in the silent space of stillness, which is in everyone, underneath the mental noise, no matter how heavy and turbulent the mental, emotional noise may be, no matter how heavy the egoic sense of self is, in everyone, as their essential nature, is the stillness of pure consciousness, your essential nature, the essence, not separate from the essence of the universe.
Calm.
Never crack that seal.
Don't break the seal.
You are now listening to the Rappers Over 30 podcast. We support, motivate, and encourage rappers over 30 to stay healthy, relevant, and successful.
Podcasting from a home studio somewhere in Los Angeles County, this is the Rappers Over 30 podcast, and here's your host, Ip the Great.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast. This is episode number 9. Happy Rappers Over 30 Thursday, y'all. Yeah, give it up. I'm your motivational host, Imp the Great, but you can call me Imp. Yeah, that's right, y'all. The song you just heard, Don't Break the Calm by Wordman. It's a track on an EP entitled Book of Law by Wordman. This episode is sponsored by my independent film channel from RaptorFilm.com and my upcoming film, Evil Justice. That's right, y'all. Y'all know I do a lot of things. I write, produce, music, everything. I do a whole lot of things, but my film is entitled Evil Justice. Podcast listeners, you can become an associate producer for the film by making a contribution of $50 or more, and you'll have your names included in the end credits of the film. Or you can become a co-producer by contributing $100 or more and have your name in the end credits, and you'll get to see the Evil Justice film in advance, and you'll be supporting your boy. Contributions can be made via Cash App to $Rappers Over 30. You spell that word 30 out. So you put the $Rappers Over 30, one word. Don't put no spaces or nothing. Once again, Cash App, $Rappers Over 30. For more information, if you didn't get it like you supposed to get it, email me at rappersover30@gmail.com and we could talk about it. If you want to make a bigger contribution, it's all good. Any contributions received after January 31st, 2021 will go towards our next film. Because from RaptorFilm.com is shooting films every month. And we're trying our best to be COVID. We're not trying, we're doing it. To be COVID safe as possible. So let's get into some more music.
This is more. Because I want more out of life, don't you? Yes. I want more out of rhyme. I want more out of beats, more out of MCs. Just give me more, please. Yo. My style transcends phrases, plays naked, all praises due to communications. Placed as new gods of this nation, not plagued by inflation. We've tuned out in favor, reclaiming our old stations. Expressions running wild, life lessons compiled. Lost horizons found when direction finally runs aground. Enter my sound like the 36 chambers. By now you might have just found out you're really gonna wanna write this down. Lucid light shine when captured in the right mind. Instrumentals frame factors and thoughts when it's mic time. My slang paints visions, kills filler renditions. Wild killer revisions wither away these pillars of fiction. Friction sparks the diction within a contradiction. My next mission, fixing the cause, cataclysms of catechisms. Mixing sounds with colors, sifting through a prism. Prismacolor stain my psyche, drifting through depictions. Poetic licensee knows his right to write what might be. What lies behind the eyes of the beholders, all right with me. Quite the sight to see, don't fight that vibe to be. Time is not the key, at least not for me. Seize forgotten dreams of what ought to be. Ignite the night, ride the beat, and blinding light. My mind is keen and keeps on shining, frequently inviting rhyme to scheme. My jam's beyond comprehension, having lived through every dimension. Like I mentioned, not a painting, it had you envisioning every sentence, every motherfucking word. Word. This is more than just words, a fortune unearthed, sound fortress undisturbed, dark force where dark forces lurk. This is more than just beats, a horticulturalist wet dream, brain stem show, heavy grow, plenty in the empty. This is more than just words, a calling unheard, the falling from earth, natural calling to the word. This is more than just words, this is more than just beats. This is more than just understanding, gonna outlive its branding. More than rampant pedophilia, brandishing its candy. More than conspirators whistling that Yankee Doodle Dandy. Implanting Darwin with the microchip, arguing in chimpanzee. It's more like heart and soul woven to the genuine article, chronicled in cosmic flow, codes imparted in particles. And I've known what the skies have flown out into their wild unknown. The eye will glow and utter its call on knowledge of the impossible. Highly inhospitable, spitting in the wind, hot spittle flown. Winter snow, splitting brittle bone down the middle with bullet riddle. Poems still little's known about this villain's dome. Shown brilliant and cynical, can whittle stone to silicone. For your mind with a million ohms. Vibe without Rosetta Stone while styling over the metronome. Sets the tone, makes it legible, more digestible. Pen set to go, incontestable. So much more than fourth dimensional. Consensual verbal intercourse with your mental, oh so sensual. Non-conventional seduction, essential to production. Comprehension, gotta love it. In connection to the brush stroke. Lust, hope, gush low. Trust though, you must know. Not painted a single lick, nor have I ever sculpted shit. Yet convinced your mind to take a pick and played with its creativeness. Some claim this to be sadist, but I haven't the faintest. So I say that to say this. Shut up, taste the fragrance, and just play this shit. This is more than just words. A fortune unearthed, sound fortress undisturbed. Dark forest where dark forces lurk. This is more than just beats. A horticulturalist wet dream brain stem show. Heavy grow, plenty in the empty. This is more than just words. A calling unheard. The falling from earth, natural calling to the word. This is more than just words. This is more than just beats.
The idea of style and competing for the best style is the key to all forms of rocking. For the rap MC, it's rocking the mic. For the B-boys, it's rocking your body and breakdancing. Or for writers, rocking the city.
Yo. I am the word, man. This is circulation. Let's get it circulating.
Topsy-turvy, the way of the wording, disturbing the natural balance, turning off access and off assets, all axes, ghetto pass has been retracted, styles not practiced, have amassed a massive recall of all the masses, asking if fashion plastics and a massy savage bastards, mastered in word matching code, cracking at making the magic happen, will be closing caption, from the cradle to close casket, the microphone's my oldest habit, my boldest challenge, my tortoise to rabbit, takes more to have it than swag, catches, ignore your lack of talent, from the land of style, we versatile, berserk and wild, get a verse on my lyrics, so perverse, and smile, we murk you while we lurk and style, an audio file, a forgotten child. On top of this game, on top of the pile of my domicile. Off and out, put my headphones on, get lost. Why?
Lost in the rhythm. Getting lost in the rhyme. Caught up in the wisdom. Within the riffs of your mind. Yeah, you rhyme fast, doing double time and all that. But you repeat the same words again and again. Talking fast, not saying shit.
For real, a skill is an asset that can't be cashed in for grammar. Landed in the fabrics of the passive. Follow me, not massive. Seat belts fastened, travel caverns of expansive space. Emancipation of the masses, scribble the magic marker all on your face. Classic case of drastic change in a manic state. Panic shakes that's cast away till the speakers are out of phase. Place just out of range. Soundscapes be out of shape. I'm out of sight when I'm out my mind. My out of body experience made an appearance. Turned out things still turned out fine.
Yeah, you rhyme.
Of the sickness, lost children of the wilderness, building the discipline to give listen when we clearly hear it come a whispering in native tongue without listening. As native sons of mischievous vision, seas of screwed visages, on mission escaping imprisonment. Decisions go missing when intuition shows the vision. With this wisdom, we grow more dismissive, scripted in emissions. Equal distances purposely omit their current position, a conscious decision, the hopes of the whole coalition, skipping prohibition.
So, who wanna contest this champion?
Contest, cooling the conscience by moving objects, usage of content, disputing the nonsense, abuse of a content, a nuisance of progress. Lost in the resonance of consonants, caught up in these sentences, spawning this collective consciousness's response in unison, along common grounds, cross continents, till common sense sets the precedent in this present tense. The consequence, speaking dissidents against our commonwealth, being stricken with ill intent, as common as the ominous.
Not residents in sentiment, it's obvious your logic is gone and has long since been contentless. Meaning without content.
No content.
Contentless.
Yes.
Circulation, circulation. We circulating, circulating.
Yeah.
Being brutally honest, truly no contest. Schooling the conscious by moving our objects, usage of content, disputing the nonsense, abuse of a content, and disputing progress.
fast lit. Get loose. Cartoons, acting. And when they see you got a vicious style, they be wanting to get loose about it. Knowing that's what keep it going.
Yes, yes, y'all. That was Circulation, preceded by More by the Word Man. Okay, so we did have a peaceful presidential inauguration. We got President Joe Biden in office, and let's all hope and pray that he could do something to eradicate coronavirus and bring peace and harmony and prosperity to the United States and to the whole world, y'all. Let's do that, y'all. So, look, check out this diet and exercise plan that I intend to do until the end of February. So that's about 38 days. I presently weigh 205 pounds. I still eat meat. I don't eat fresh vegetables every day like I should, and I haven't been exercising regularly. I fell off. I was doing it, but I fell off. So here's the plan. If you guys like, you can ride with this with me and see what you look like, see if you lost any weight in 38 days. So the first thing I'm going to do is some warm-up exercises. So we got 20 of these, and I'm going to do this twice a day. So knee ups, that's when you're standing straight up, and you lift one of your knees up as high as you can to your chest, and that's one. You lift the other one, that's two. So you do 20 of those. Forward and reverse arm rolls. Hold your arms out. Extend both your arms out and stick your fingertips out, the pointy fingers, and draw little circles. So you go 20 forward, you go 20 backwards. Toe touches. Everybody know what that is. You just bend down, touch your toe or bend down as far as you can. Come back up, touch your belly. Stand up on your tippy toes, touch the sky. All right? Cherry picker. You open your legs wide as you can, and you bend and you touch your left toe, then you stick your hand in between the middle of your legs, then you come back and you touch your right toe. That will be considered one. You do 20 of those. Squats. Hold on to something if you have to. Put your back against a smooth wall and do your squats. That way you don't, you know, if you got bad knees or something. If you don't have bad knees, just go ahead and do it regularly. Dumbbell exercises. Four sets of 10 each arm. So arm curl overhead pumps. That's what I call them. I don't know what they call it in the gym. So your arms are down. You got a dumbbell in each arm. Or if you have one dumbbell, you don't have two. You can do it with one. But 10 each arm. You curl the dumbbells, then you go up over your head. That's one. You bring them back down to your chest, put them back down to your legs. That's just one. Then you boom. So you're doing four sets of 10 each arm. Sit-ups on the bed. We talked about that before. Just you do five sets of 10. If you can't fully do a proper sit-up, then just get one shoulder off the ground, off the bed at a time. So just barely lift your shoulder up if you can, if that's what you have to do. If not, do the regular sit-ups. Push-ups, four sets of 12. So do four sets of 12 push-ups. Sometimes you can do them straight up, and then you can kind of extend your right arm out a little bit, and that'll help do a better push-up. And then same thing, you do a regular one, stick that right arm out a little bit, boom. Do a regular one, stick that left arm out a little bit. Shadow boxing or heavy bag, 3 2-minute rounds. If you have a heavy bag, get out there, get your little timer going or play your little song, and boom, do your 3 2-minute rounds. Shadow box if you don't have a heavy bag. That's just as good. Remember to move. Remember to duck. Remember to bob. Remember to weave. Imagine somebody throwing something at you. You squat. When you slip a punch, that's what you're doing. You're squatting. Don't try to wiggle and weave your whole body around. When you slip a punch, it's a simple squat. You know, sometimes you can squat and step forward. Sometimes you can squat and step back. All right. Jump rope or pretend to jump rope. If you have a jump rope and you have the ability to jump the rope, you want to do 3 2-minute rounds. If you don't have a jump rope, act like you're jumping a rope. You know, you don't have to go these minutes that I'm telling you. You don't have to do this amount. Do what you can do safely. Okay. Diet. This is my plan. I'm just saying, if you guys want to ride with me, you could do it. Diet. No processed meats. Red meat once a week, no rice or potatoes, no bacon, egg, sausage, or boxed cereal. I'm going to eat vegetables, so I'm trying to do this, y'all. Vegetables and fruits and salads and stuff like that, as opposed to, you know, bacon, eggs, and cereals and all that stuff. So some of the food I'm going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is going to be organic vegetables. The grains will be like steel-cut oatmeal. Then I can eat some carrots, Brussels sprouts, kale, spinach, broccoli, blackberries, blueberries, salmon, tuna, chicken breasts, unsalted cashews, because they kind of keep you full and keep the cravings down. You don't want to eat too many of them either, though. So you just want to get a handful of those. Once again, if you don't have a diet or exercise plan, you can try mine out with me. Let me know how it's working out for you. And right now, we're going to get into another song, and then we'll get to the interview portion of this podcast. This is Grammar is Dead by Word Man.
Broken Peg. leads to
jagged edge. Ignorance lives, yeah. Grammar is dead?
Is it really?
See, when you stick out, that's when they hammer the nail. And when you fit in, that's when the grammar gets stale. And bammer as hell, these glamorous tales that the camera sell to lonely souls who may know no better. There's no gold and cheddar, no silver and cream. And you can control the weather with a bowl full of steam. Keep molding your letters and unfolding your dreams. Keep rolling with the punches even when your soul bleeds. There's more to this whole thing than those things that you're holding. Proceed to glow, swinging swords like shinobi. Best said by the rebel lioness. So I digress, that I might flex the divine mind's eye disguised in flesh. So think in the box or out of the box, but thinking in shapes is a paradox. Escaping enclosures, break the locks. Keep your composure, take the shot. Make it hot, then shake the spot. Break you off with creative thought, for we have fought off their pagan gods. No more making odds once their faith is lost. Facing off with a faceless boss who's been taking bets and laying odds, faking breath and playing fraud to all that may have and may have not. So them all stake the pot, then they can all taste the sauce.
See what they're missing.
Bringing grammar back to life with a hammer and a mic. With the sweat from my brow, slay a rapper with the spike. Civilize the uncivilized, still well-mannered and polite. A mere man by day, spirit animal by night. Who's found grandeur in the light, but still enamored by the fight. So when higher self sees lower self, then damn it, it's on sight. These scavengers, they bite, they amateurs seeking stripes. But the stamina's too light, they mumble and stammer when they write, please.
No better, do better, build letter by letter forever and ever, etc., etc. Fierce competitor, microphone predator, 7 and 7, getting clever and cleverer. Wild irregular, fly rhyme lecturer, measure by measure, call me a successor. Killing your messenger, skill progenitor, whatever, however, getting fresher and fresher.
Yeah, today's guest is an MC from the San Gabriel Valley in Southern California. He was born in the year of the dragon. He's been writing, recording, and performing for over 20 years. He's a member of Crop Circle 720. He's released 3 full albums. The songs you heard are from his current EP, Book of Law, Volume 1. There's also a music video for his song, Grammar is Dead, on YouTube. He's a proud father of 2 sons. He holds down a 9-to-5. He's an old wizard, a pen magician that practices word magic. Without any further ado, Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, please put your hands together and enjoy my interview and conversation with Word Man. Rappers Over 30 podcast. We are live. Happy Thursday. I got a special guest today. I have the Word Man. Word Man, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing swell. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Just like I told you, I just woke up, man. Got some little orange juice here, sipping on my orange juice. And
that's right.
Trying to wake up. And as soon as we done with this, I'm about to get me something to eat, man. And I'm trying to do better. Girl asked me, hey, we going to In-N-Out? You want some In-N-Out? And first I said, yeah, bring me a shake, a burger, and fried. And I said, nah, you know what? I'm gonna try to eat something healthy. So I'm going to go in and stir up some vegetables or something.
And that's right.
Try to take it from there. So, yeah, word, man. You know, I was looking at your picture. We're going to jump right in. Well, first of all, introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them a quick, give them a quick bio about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you got going on.
Word. Salutations to everybody out there in podcast land and the Ethernet and whatnot. I go by the name of the Word Man. I'm actually part of a crew called Crop Circle 720 as well. Some may have heard of it. Most probably haven't. But I actually do my own solo work as well. As you can see behind me, that's my latest EP that I've dropped. I've been doing this music thing for over 20 years. I'm well over 30. I like to say I'm seasoned and whatnot. And just always trying to push the culture forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what is your latest EP that you, is that the Book of Law?
Book of the Law, Volume 1. That right there.
Okay, let's talk about that, because I was looking at the picture you sent me, and I guess that's your album cover. Can you hold that up, let the audience kind of see it again?
Yeah, no doubt.
So I was looking at the uniqueness, and I got a couple of questions about it. I want to know the hat, the clothing, and the book. So let's start with the hat. What's the deal with the hat? Is it from a particular culture? Does it represent anything in particular?
So basically what this album cover is I don't know, I'm pretty sure you have heard of him. It's Aleister Crowley. All I did was take his picture and superimpose my face over it just to make like a bugged out, you know, cover and whatnot. So that's all the hat and everything is actually him. The only thing that actually belongs to me is the face. I just superimposed my face over it. Yeah.
Okay, how about the book? What about the book? Because it looked like, I don't know, is that the Jewish, the Star of David or something on it? What is that?
It's actually a five-pointed star. It's a pentagram. It's up, right side up, though. To be honest, like I said, I don't know. I'm not sure what the book is. I know he's written quite a few books. I don't know if it's one of his books or just one of the books that he studied from. But, yeah, I mean, basically all the regalia is his and whatnot. And, he's just a real polarizing figure, you know. Some people think highly of him, most don't, you know. And I think mostly what it is when I was, you know, growing up, I was raised as a Catholic and whatnot. And throughout my journey and, you know, my studies and whatnot, I kind of figured that a lot of what we've been told was not true. And, you know, my youth, I just felt like I had been lied to my whole life as far as what religion is supposed to be and what it should be. And so I went like complete 180. I just wanted to, like, you know, rebel against it. You know, I was real young at the time. So I kind of took on that. It's like my AKA, my alter ego, Mr. Crowley and whatnot. And it's basically just my way of, you know, like, I guess, giving a middle finger to society and whatnot and just going against the grain. And that's pretty much what I used him. Like I said, it was my AKA, and he sparks a lot of controversy. So just like looking at it, people are going to kind of bug out on it and be like, what's he trying to say? You know, what's it all about? And it just, you know, it just creates that, like, what's this guy on? So it just creates a curiosity in people, you know, maybe they might check out the music and see what I am really about.
Yeah. You know, when I played your first track, you know, I do films and stuff. And when I played that first track, I'm like, shit, this might could work one of this little movie I got. Cause it got an emotion out of me, which is good. When I write my films, that's the whole purpose, to get emotions. So when I played it was an eerie, kind of scary feeling, but it made me want to know, like, what's this about? So you got a good thing with that opening. What was that? I think that was called Don't Break the Calm.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Don't break the calm. But before we get to the music to talk about that, I got to talk more about this fashion statement and the book. So you don't know what the book is saying or nothing like that?
That particular book, to be honest, no, I don't. You know, I know he's I know a lot of his works were supposedly what they based like the Satanic Bible on and, you know, Satanism and whatnot. So, again, you know, it was just like, I felt like I'd been lied to with religion, and I was just trying to rebel, you know, being young and just trying to rebel and go against it. So, you know, I picked like the, you know, he himself called himself the evilest man in the world. He called himself the beast. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you the truth with the music, how dark it was. And then I looked at the book. I'm not really a religious person, and I got a lot of people who get on me. You know, like, you know, they'll question what they think I believe and what I don't believe. But, you know, even people I think that aren't religious, I think when that heat get on their ass, for some reason, it's help me, God, help me, Lord, or something.
Yeah, right?
You know, some people, you know, even if they might say they're not religious, something, when, you know, God forbid somebody in their family gets sick, you know, then you start thinking about those type of things. But like I said, when I saw that, you know, I had to take a closer look at the book. I'm like, damn, what does this say? I can't wait to talk to him to find out what this book is about. So this Alice Crowley guy, Aleister Crowley, that's the correct name?
Right, correct.
So this is that someone you admire, you follow, or you just find interesting, or what?
Again, it was more like he's just a polarized, you know, character. Like, some people like his writings, you know, he wrote poetry and whatnot. People really like dig him. Like, you know, he's on the cover. The Beatles put him on the cover of one of their albums, you know, and the dudes from Led Zeppelin, they actually they lived in his castle, his old castle that he had over there in the UK and whatnot.
I'm sure so they some got people some inspiration.
Like, yeah. So, well, I mean, some people like him and think, you know, he's great. Some people just think he's evil And again, it's just the spark and emotion in people. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I was rebelling against religion at the time, which I just think, you know, organized religion isn't really about what they say they're about. You know, I'm all for everybody, you know, expressing, you know, their love and their connection with their creator, whatever they may call it or label it or whatnot. But, you know, like I said, this was when I was really young, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like, I'm going to piss people off with this, basically, is okay, what I did. Now, I've gotten some heat for it. I've gotten into debates with people on Facebook and whatnot about the artwork. Yeah, and that's basically what it was meant to do, to spark some kind of emotion in people, be it good, be it bad, you know, like, mm-hmm. just to spark that curiosity. Like, what is this guy really trying to say? Like, I don't know if, because like the person that hit me up was thinking I was some kind of like Satanist or I worship Satan or something like that, which made me laugh. You know, I was like, no, it's not really what it's about. Again, it's just that emotion that I just got out of you that made you like, we don't know each other in real life, but you mm-hmm. got on Facebook and you hit me up in my DMs or whatnot just to see, you know, what I was about. You know, that's basically what it's meant to do, you know, just spark that emotion and get people thinking.
Well, it does it. One reason why I would never get a, you know, I ain't gonna say I would never do it, but I would definitely do some research, like the tattoos, like an Asian language tattoo. You know how mm-hmm. the symbols are and everything,
right?
Because
right.
I like to know if I'm putting something out there, I want to be sure, you know, I'm cool with it. But I understand what you're saying now, that you just did it to get the reaction. But something like that looks deep. When I looked at the book, I like, God damn, you know, this looks deep. I can't wait to talk to them about this. But see, me personally, I don't, that's one thing. I don't go to the dark side. I don't, you know, when I hear, sometimes I've heard people say things about some of my favorite artists, you know, Jay-Z, 50 Cent,
right.
You know, a lot of people, you know, some people who make it. And I think a lot of people work real hard and they come from certain environments like where I come from. So when they get to talking that old dark shit and oh, they devil work, I would never believe that shit. Cause I've been in the projects and I've been in the ghettos and I know what you up against, the cold, the weather, the elements, the hunger,
right.
the crime and all. You trying to get the hell, you ain't got time. People over there ain't got time to be thinking about none of that kind of stuff. But okay, right. I'm gonna leave the album cover alone. I'll leave it. So we got it. The album cover and the book. I would, you know, I'm not even gonna look at what it's about. Cause like I said, I don't even get to that kind of stuff. But let's get to the music. So what is the song I heard, the Don't Break the Calm, is that the intro to the album?
It has like a long intro with the guy speaking, and then that's the first song on the album.
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope. I listen to it. You know, it's dope. It's about entertainment. It's about getting emotions. If you don't do that, it's boring, right? If somebody just you sitting there and you're like, oh well, okay, all right, you probably wouldn't even be able to listen to the whole thing. But that's something, you know, you're gonna think about it. You might play it and say, all right, hold on, wait a minute, what is this? You know, what am I about to listen to? So it's interesting, and I want to listen to the whole thing. I haven't listened to the whole thing. I went through the songs a bit, but I want to play them some more, and I want to listen to it again. So once again, you guys, we got The Word Man, and we're talking about his new album, and his, what's the name of it again? New album?
Book of the Law, Volume 1.
Book of the Law.
I don't mean to offend anybody if the artwork is offensive or whatnot. Like, again, like, I just thought it was a bugged out cover. So I'm trying to spark some emotion, just get people to, you know, what's this guy on, you know? And, you know, obviously I think it's working.
So the that intro, it's an intro song combined, right? Because the intro comes on, then the song.
Yeah, plays, it's just, I just do it because actually the beat when I got it from my homie Clockwise, he's also my partner, my crew, Crop Circle 720, shouts out to him. When he gave me the instrumental, it just has that long, like, you know, that breakdown before the beat actually starts. So I kind of, after I wrote the song, I went and looked for something that would be ill, like an intro to fill up that space. And I found that, because it's basically Don't Break the Calm. It's just an ode to, you know, silence and quiet, you know, because, you know, this world is so busy and we're always on our phones. We're always on some sort of electronic device. You know, we're always looking down and whatnot, you know, and there's everything's going on. We always got music or something going on. You know, sometimes people just need that quiet moment, you know, to collect their thoughts and kind of like recharge, you know. So it's basically just an ode to the silence, to the quiet, to the calm, you know, because I believe just us as people, we need that every now and again. We need to just turn everything off and just sit there. Some people meditate. Some people just sit in silence and enjoy the silence. And that's basically what that track was about.
Yeah, that's dope. So now with the album, is it a conceptual album, or is it, you know, did you try to put everything in like some type of a concept?
No, actually it's I know we've been calling it an album. It's actually an EP. It's only 5 tracks. And the reason I went with Book of the Law and everything, cuz like I said, this is something that I was really like, this was my thing when I was really young, you know, when I first started and everything. Oh, I'm going to create this alter ego and whatnot. And I'm just going to be anti, you know, the establishment and whatnot. You know, we all went through that when we were young, rebellious stage and whatnot. So it's an old idea. It's an old concept. So with this EP, it's actually a bunch of old songs. There's one new track that is a recent track. But most of the songs on there and the tracks on there are old songs that I just had in my notebook. So this is volume 1. I actually have volume 2 already done as well. And it's another EP. And I think I'm just going to make this EP series just like a bunch of just old tracks that I have lying around. You know, they've been sitting in my notebook. And, you know, I'd rather have them out and available for people to listen than just getting dusty in my notebook.
So the Book of Law, the album, how many tracks is on it?
It's 5. It's an EP.
It's an EP. And if you was to say, who is the audience, who is the perfect audience to listen to this album? Like, who is the target audience for this? Or who do you think would enjoy this album most?
I would say anybody who's a rap nerd like myself. You know, somebody's probably in my age range. I'm 44 myself. Mm-hmm. So just anybody who enjoys lyricism, lyrics, bars and whatnot, dope beats, you know, I would figure someone in my age range, or just anybody who's a rap nerd.
So if they was a fan of, give me if they would, like you say, well, if you're a fan of, give me maybe 3 artists, then say they would probably like your album. Like say, if you're a fan of so-and-so, 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 then you'll probably enjoy this album. I'm just trying to narrow it down so people who could get an idea of, you know, is this album for them? So, which I would hope everybody
right, okay. would enjoy it. I would say like a lot of my style, what I got, influence from, I would say if you like artists like Chino XL, mm-hmm. you probably dig my stuff. If you're a fan of like Freestyle Fellowship, that Project Blow sound, I think you probably dig my stuff as well. I grew up on that as well. And you know, a little LL Cool J, because that's where I got my, you know, my b-boyism and whatnot, you know, when it comes to rhyming and being on the mic. Mm-hmm. Got a little LL Cool J in there as well.
Okay, well, since you brought up LL Cool J, let's go back to the beginning. Give me a little bit of history about your beginning. Like, when did you first hear rap? When did you decide it was something you want to do? And also, do you remember any of your first rhymes?
Well, as far as hip-hop goes, shoot, man. Like, I guess, like, I remember hearing, you know, Rapper's Delight and whatnot, but I was like real young, so I didn't really understand, you know, this is rap, this is something new, you know, it just sounded cool to me and whatnot. I remember my cousins, they all lived out in LA, you know, I live out here in the San Gabriel Valley, the SGV area. So like anything else, when rap made its way out here to the West, you know, it's always going to hit the main cities first, you know, like LA and stuff. So, you know, LA always got the new stuff, the fresh new stuff. So I was lucky enough to have cousins who lived out there. My grandma lived out there. I would be at my grandma's house on the weekends and whatnot. So, I remember, like, one of the first songs that really got me into it was It's Like That by Run DMC. One of the first songs I ever, like, memorized word for word was Lottie Dottie, you know, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh. From there, the next song I learned word for word was, you know, Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys. So all that old school type stuff, you know, the 80s stuff is where I really started to pay attention. And it's kind of weird because when I was little, I liked rap, but I never admitted it because before there was, you know, really hip hop and rap out here, you know, the big thing was like rock, you know, like hair bands and whatnot, like Van Halen type stuff, and you know, Quiet Riot and those type of bands. And I had an older brother who was like 5 years older than me, you know, so like every little kid, I wanted to be like my big brother. I idolized my big brother. So my big brother was into like metal and rock, you know, and when rap came around, when my cousins would play rap, he'd be like, oh, we don't mess with that. I don't like that stuff, you know? So like, because I wanted to be like my big brother, I just was like, yeah, that stuff's whack, you know, this and that. But secretly, I liked it, you know? It was like, it was my thing. And then like, you know, as the years progressed, you know, it wore on him and he broke down. He's like, well, you know, he started liking it. So as soon as he gave the green light, like it was okay, then I was like, cool, you know, because I liked it anyway. And then I just, from that point on, I just became immersed in it, immersed in the culture. Before I even started rhyming, I was a graffiti artist. And that was my first introduction into hip hop, was you know, graffiti writing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I got into the rhyming, but the way my family was and everything, like, you know, rap, you know, I had to hide listening to rap. My parents didn't like rap. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And then the way my parents were raised is like, you work, you go to school, you always got a job and this and that. Like, so something that pertained to the arts, you know, like rhyming and stuff like that, you know, they wasn't really having it. So I never really, you know, I loved it. I loved the culture. I was all about it, but I never pictured myself doing it, you know? Not only that, I was like a real shy kid, timid, shy little kid when I was little, you know? Didn't speak much, kept to myself and whatnot. So, you know, and I just never pictured, like, secretly always wanted to, like, rap, you know, be on stage and rhyme and this, that, but I never admitted it. And then, you know, just little by little, you know, homie started freestyling and everybody's doing it. And I was like a closet MC. I would freestyle to myself, you know, when no one was around and whatnot. And the more I did it, you know, I was just like, shit, I'm good at this, you know, I'm gonna start doing this in front of people, you know? And from there, I just started, you know, Cypher's a startup and I would just jump in it. And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. And I never looked back since then. Mm-hmm.
Let's, you know, I'm looking at your name too, and you mentioned your brother. So with your family and your nationality, what is your nationality and how is your family? Like, what is your nationality? How is your family? Where you from? And your name, is it Arik? I don't want to put your government out there. I'll just say your first name. Is that fine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's Mexican is what we would say.
Mm-hmm. So your nationality is Mexican?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Yeah, when I look at you, I guess it's the beard and everything. You look, I don't know, I was thinking, I don't know, with that album cover, you got me, bro. Between the album cover, I was like, okay, you know, so you got something, you definitely got something good, man. So once again, everybody, Rappers Over 30, happy Thursday to everybody. We got the Word Man here, and we was discussing, you know, his music. We talked about his beginnings in hip hop, the Book of Laws. So where can someone pick up your music? The past music, the present? Do you got a website? You have some type of band camp, anything where people can get your music from?
Yeah, it's actually under my label. We're called, Echoes of Oratory Music, or you can just put EOO Music. That's MUZIK. And under there, under the Bandcamp, is you can find the EP there. You can also find my previous works. Like I said, I'm from a crew called Crop Circle 720. We have three albums to date. Those albums are up there, and all our music is on all the you know, all the major streaming platforms, Spotify, Amazon, and all those types platforms as well. If you want to stream it, and it's all going to be under EOO Music.bandcamp.com. All that and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So how's the you know, you familiar, have you been tuning into the podcast?
Yeah, I was driving out on the one with LA Cool and Lonzo.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so how you liking the podcast so far? Is it you're happy for the platform, because I made it for people like us to try to get us exposure, to get us to,
yeah. I think it's dope. It's hella dope, and that you mix in not just, you know, the music, you know, us being, you know, older gentlemen and whatnot, as far as mixing in the health and, you know, better eating and exercise and all those type of things, is we all need to be reminded of that stuff, especially at our age and whatnot. So I like that you incorporate that as well, because it's like well-rounded. It's for everybody who's getting up there in age and whatnot. And it's not just about the music, but it's also about, you know, keeping yourself fit and keeping yourself healthy.
Yeah, and it makes me think, honestly. I'd be like, I'd be ready to eat something. I'm like, man, I can't be telling them to do this, and I'm about to throw down on this triple cheeseburger, you know. And the right thing, you can do the, I don't tell nobody not to do it, you know, but what's the word I'm looking for? You know, how much of it that you're doing. You know, you just can't, right. I'm not saying you can't never eat a cheeseburger or you can't do this, but don't, you can't just keep constantly doing that. I told a brother today, this might sound kind of nasty, but I said, if your doo-doo don't float, you probably got some problems, you know? So, you know,
right?
Shit and sludge is not good. Excuse my
language. Yeah, exactly. You
know? Okay.
Yeah, my wife is actually vegan. She's been like vegetarian for over 20 years, and she's been vegan for, I say, like a good 3-4 years now. So she got me. Kind of did it on my own, you know. I cut out all the red meat. I cut out pork a long time ago, cut out the red meat. I was on that chicken for a while, and I finally recently just given that up. So I'm doing the vegan thing as well, just, you know, for health, like you said. I got two boys and I'm trying to live, you know, I'm trying to be there for them and whatnot. So I'm trying to change up my diet and everything and stay active and try to do my health thing as well.
Okay, now do vegans eat seafood?
Nah, it's nothing animal based at all. Like,
nothing.
They won't even eat. Yeah, they won't even eat like honey. Like hardcore vegans won't even eat honey, just because even though the bees don't, they don't kill the bees to get the honey. I don't think it's still like a product that comes from an animal, so they won't mess with it. Like, mm-hmm. No dairy, no milk, no eggs, no cheese, no nothing like that. It's anything that has to do with animals. They don't mess with it.
And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I cut out all the meats and I cut out the chicken, I'd say about September of last year. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't full on vegan because I was still eating stuff that had like eggs and milk in it. But since the new year, I've started. I was like, I'm gonna cut all that out. So
okay,
it's only been about a month.
So do you when I go to the store, I can't think of the brand, but I see now they have a lot of stuff and it says plant-based, but it's supposed to be like a hamburger or supposed to be this and that. Do you eat those type of things?
Yeah. I mean, that's for like, it's really good, you know, cause you're going to crave all that old stuff. You know, I recently just had one of them plant-based burgers. There's a spot we go to near my house. And, but again, you know, I'm really trying to like even stay away from that stuff because it's plant-based and whatnot, but sometimes some of it has like a lot of carbs and whatnot. There's a lot of salt in it too. So not all of it, you know, some of it though, you know, some I'm trying to lean more towards the veggies and the fruits and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So, do you cook?
My wife cooks. And like, so I said,
you ain't too handy in the kitchen.
I mean, I could if I had to, but, you know, I let her, if that's her strength, so I let her do that, you know. But if need be, I can get down a little bit in the kitchen.
So what's seeing that you've given up a lot of things, like prior to doing this, what was one of your favorite, like probably junk foods? Like, was it a burger, a burrito? What was your...
Pizza and ice cream, man. That's my...
Okay, yeah. So now what do she make that does she try to make some type of vegan pizza for you now?
Oh, there's actually another spot we go to close to my house where they make it. They make vegan pizza. Mm-hmm. There's vegan ice cream, you know, but again, I'm trying to like save those for maybe like a weekend, maybe one day on the weekend, I'll go and have some stuff like that. But during the week, you know, a lot of salads, a lot of vegetables, steamed vegetables. And, you know, she makes me lentils, and she just made me some like a vegetable stew and whatnot. So I try to keep it more towards that during the week, and maybe on the weekends, you know, go and have one of those treats, those good type meals and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you might not be able to tell, but like I was a lot bigger than I am now.
Well, you got to start. Like I tell the people, and I'm always shouting out LA Cool Rifle, man, because I see him on Facebook almost every night, and he's on.
Yeah, he's always getting his workout on.
Always working out, man. That dude always working out, and I don't do it as much. I've been slacking for about a week now. I got to get back on my thing. But I was saying when people go to bathroom, I would hold the sink, do my squats, get down, do some push-ups, you know, try to do something. I hung a heavy bag up now, so I got a heavy bag every now and go and do that. But I got to get more. So once again, shout out to Rifeman. Shout out to you for making these adjustments. And we got to do that. Like you said, we're getting older. And, you know, we don't want to see a lot of our friends and stuff going. Plus, you got your families and everything. So what about exercise? You doing any exercise in addition to being a vegan?
I'm not a big exercise person, so my exercise, I walk. I'll go take walks and whatnot. I'm looking into getting a weight bench and start, you know, doing that. But as far as exercise, for the most part, I just go take my walks.
Mm-hmm. Even a jump rope. Get your jump rope. Just go in your backyard and you know, it might start off hard, but 3-4 months down the line, you're going to be whoop, whoop, whoop. And that's going, you know, that's going to burn some calories for sure, messing with that jump rope. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that weight bench. I'm looking to
swell up, you know,
scoping out off around. What's that?
I said you trying to swell up.
I'm not trying to get all swell. I'm just trying to, you know, get healthy, get a little cut. You know, that's all. Okay. Just stay healthy and whatnot. Get my kids on it. Get them, you know, because they're big like me, big dudes. So we gotta, you know, get our swole on a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What about, you know, another one of our ongoing topics is rappers over 30 staying relevant. How do you stay relevant? Do you got any advice on people on what they can do to stay relevant? What do you feel about somebody trying to stay relevant, maybe rapping over trap beats or, you know, trying to step into the new school arena a little bit? What do you think about that? How can a rapper stay relevant? What do you think about the new music and people, older cats, trying to step into that arena too?
Well, I mean, what it breaks down to is like, do you, you know, what you feel comfortable with, you know, if you know, older cats want to, you know, do the trap stuff and whatever, and, you know, and they feel comfortable doing that, then, you know, do you. I say just stay true to yourself as far as the music goes. And I think the best thing you can do is just, you know, learn from these youngsters and be up on all the latest technologies and the latest platforms and, you know, how people are getting their music out there to reach the masses and whatnot. And, you know, just study them. If you're not really feeling their music or whatnot, then study their hustle, you know, because...
Oh, my God.
Right?
That's one of the best things we got. Rappers over 30, you heard it yourself from the word, man. Study right. These youngsters. If you don't want to study their music and their style and all that, study their hustle, because they are definitely getting that bread, you know? And at the end of the day, we get to a point where, you know... Well, at least I'm not gonna speak for everybody, but I think a lot of us can get to the point where we realize that, you know, I've been true to what I do. I kept it underground. I do this, da da da. But at the end of the day, it's getting to a point where I need to make a living off of this. Because if you don't, you'll end up having to have a job that you might not be so happy with. You know, you'll make some money, but you might not be happy with it. So that's why I be saying, when I'm talking about relevant, I be talking about as far as having a fan base that's supporting you. It don't have to be a superstar, but you know, in this day and era, if somebody just had 1,000 fans, they'd be good. If you had across this whole world, if you had 1,000 fans that like everything you put out, we gonna buy your t-shirt, we gonna buy your music, we gonna support you, you would be good. Especially if you say, well, I know I just need to put out, you know, a product every quarter or something like that. So when I'm saying relevant, that's more so what I'm talking about is having some type of fan. But I've been doing this, you know, and people done retired because of me. And I sometimes I try not to say things around youngsters to be like, well, shit, if you've been doing this long, I might as well quit. Because if you've been rapping since you've been 12 and I'm almost 60, man. And they be like, you know, well, I'm gonna quit, man, because I'm not gonna keep doing this shit if it ain't gonna do it. But I'd be like, what worked for me and what worked for you are two different things. There's a whole lot of other things involved in being a successful artist. There's a lot of things that play in that, you know. So keep doing your thing. But I love that that what you said is study at the minimum, study their hustle. So What about style and stuff? What do you think? I know you say do them, but if they're, if someone is rapping, like I said, I use the Beastie Boys, for instance, and because you had mentioned them too earlier. So if someone is still rapping like the Beastie Boys, how relevant do you think they can be? Maybe not in the United States. Maybe they can be super successful in Europe. I don't know. But what do you think style-wise, do they, should they have more than just that one thing in their arsenal?
Well, yeah, I mean, as an MC, you should always have more than one thing in your arsenal. You should have, you know, different styles. I mean, that's just me. That's just the way I think, you know. I mean, you could sound like the Beast Boys if you want, but I think it goes back to what you said. You know, if you have your fan base and that's what they want from you and that's what they expect from you and that works for you, then that's cool. But, you know, maybe it's not my, it might not be like that for somebody. You know, your fan base might be like, okay, well, that style was cool, but, you know, we're kind of, over it, you know. So you got to just kind of be in tune with your fan base, what they want, and, you know, I mean, be willing to, you know, step outside your comfort zone and do something different. But again, as long as you're being true to yourself and you're doing you, and it's something you feel comfortable doing, and it goes with your vibe, then, you know, do it. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I don't really like, to be honest, I don't really think like that. Like, oh, what am I going to do different to be relevant? You know, I've just always been the type of person, like, I'm always going to be on point when it comes to my rhymes. I'm always going to be on point with styles and styling over beats and having skills and different deliveries and different style. And that's just been me since day one, you know, because I've always just wanted to be different. I don't ever want to sound like anybody else. So, I mean, that's how I challenge myself, is just, you know, every song, try to do a different cadence, try a different style, you know, try a different rhyme pattern or something. That's just something I do myself to challenge myself, because I want to be dope, you know. I want to be the best MC I can be, so I always like try to challenge myself. And you know, I don't really, maybe I should think about, you know, what is this going to make me relevant or not. I just focus on being like the dopest MC I could be, and, you know, I figure if I do that and I stay on my craft and I stay doing my shit, then all that stuff will come when it's ready.
So what is your fan base like, as far as from local, regional, countrywide, and worldwide? So how is your fan base in your local community? Let's talk about that for your local community. Do you got a fan base in your local community? And you in San Gabriel Valley?
Yes.
So do you have?
I got a very small, I'm not going to front, I got a very small fan base, you know, but they are loyal. They always check out for me. They always, you know, they'll pick up stuff. They'll buy CDs and whatnot. Very small, you know, but I'm still just trying to build it, you know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
When you say small, are you talking locally or are you talking just overall?
I say overall. I'm not gonna front like I got a huge fan base, you know, and I don't. Uh-huh. You know, I'm still working at it. I've been at this forever, but, you know, I'm not gonna stop, you know. So I need to build my fan base, and I need to, you know, that's why, like I said, I study. I'm trying to study how everybody else is doing it, you know, and it just don't ever stop, you know.
Okay, and that's exactly what I'm starting to realize. This platform is more so, you know, obviously I start playing, if you've listened from the beginning, I might have played one song, and now I'm up to where I play like maybe four songs, because I said I got to have more entertainment on here for the, you know, for fans, for people like other, outside of the music, outside of the interview, you know, I got to do that. So I'm trying to get more on here. But the thing is, just like you said, we're going to keep doing this regardless. We're going to do it regardless. Yeah. But these conversations and this platform can help us get out there more and get people to say, hey, I want them to say, hey, listen, man, if you stop and listen, it's some dope ass artists and it's some dope ass music out here, and support it. We just need that support. And that seems like a tricky thing, is to get people to understand that you can be independent nowadays with so many different, the internet for distribution, the digital cameras and the recording computers, everything. You could do so much on your own, but the most difficult thing is to get the public to understand that you don't need Hollywood to say that person's a star. You don't need some celebrity or the radio station to play their music before you buy into them. Use your brain. And I think you got a couple of things on it, and I'm sure, just looking at the titles, that are probably touching some of these topics, you know, where people, they're not, it's almost like they're not thinking. They need somebody to tell them he's good, you know, and then, oh yeah, he's good. Let's they can't just listen to it themselves. Even DJs are like that.
Society is wired like that, though.
Yeah, you know, we got
to need somebody to tell them what to do. They're always looking for somebody to you know, to lead them, to guide them and whatnot. So, I mean, I think just the way I was raised, like I said, like, I've always had a 9-to-5, you know, I've got children, you know, that I'm definitely always going to provide for, and I want to make sure that that's first and foremost, you know. So, you know, maybe that's been to my detriment, you know, that I've focused so much on always having that to be stable and whatnot. Maybe I should have ventured out more and been like, oh, you know, you got to go out there and just do the damn thing. But like I said, everybody's journey is different, and everybody's way of doing things is different. And I'm happy, you know, like I work my 9-to-5. I finally recently, you know, got a 9-to-5 that pays some decent money, which is the reason why I'm going to be releasing a lot of music now. You know, I just haven't always had the means to put the music out, because sure as you know, it takes money to record. You got to, you know, pay studio time. It takes money to have it mixed and mastered and have it sound good, not just some bullshit mixing and mastering, you know, and then the press up physicals and all that, you know, it takes money. So like, you know, now that I'm in the videos. Exactly. Videos as well. All that, it all takes money. You know, doing it ourselves. So it's like, you know, but so, I mean, I've never stopped. I've never given up. I've never been like, oh, well, fuck rap, I'm not going to do it. You know, because I guess I never looked at it like, oh, well, I need to do this to survive, to get by, you know, because like I said, I've always kind of relied on, I'm getting out there and working a job or whatever. Like I said, some people might think, well, that's whack. That's why you've never gone anywhere. But like I said, everybody's journey is different, and I'm happy, you know, like I'm cool. My family's taken care of. My children are taken care of. Like I said, I got this job now where I got a little, got some nice change coming in. So.
And you're doing, you can do what you love.
A lot of shit.
You can do what you
love. What's
that? I'm saying, yeah, you can exactly. do what you love. So tell me this, yeah. With your music videos, I saw, I think I might've saw at least 3 videos. I don't know, one might've been a solo and a couple of features. Tell me about right. the music videos. What was that like doing them? Are any of those videos from this latest EP? And what's your favorite out of the videos? And how was it shooting them? And you know, how many do you got? How long you been doing it? How do you like doing the videos? Was it difficult? Are you starting to get more comfortable doing it? Just give me some information on some of these music videos you got.
Okay. Well, actually, for the EP, I have a video I'm waiting on the editor to edit it all up and whatnot. But right before I dropped the EP, I just dropped a single, which is called Grammar is Dead. And I shot a video for that one. So that's like my newest joint right there. People can check that out on YouTube and whatnot. Grammar is Dead, The Word Man. Mm-hmm. I do have some other videos where I was featured on. And then we have videos that we did as a group as Crop Circle 720. And like, you know, to be honest, I'm getting more used to it. I'm not the biggest, like, in front of the camera type dude. I've never been one to like taking photos or really doing the video thing, you know, but that's part of it, you know, and that's something, a thing too. Like, you know, that's not really my thing, not what I'm really into, but I push myself to do it and to do it more and more. So it becomes my thing, or at least I feel a little more comfortable doing it. And like I said, I did the Grammar is Dead. I have a video coming out for Don't Break the Calm. Like I said, I'm just waiting on that. And when I shot that video, I even felt a little more, you know, comfortable in my skin doing that one as well. So, you know, like I said, that's part of it. That's the job. So you got to do it. And if it's something that makes you feel uncomfortable, you got to push through it and make yourself do it even more so you get comfortable in doing it, because that's part of this game. So... But we've been doing, I mean, we shot videos for Crop Circles, my crew, Crop Circle 720. We don't have a lot, but we've done a few, so I'm not a stranger to it either.
Okay, so as far as the business end of this thing, you got stuff on, I think you said Bandcamp, and where else is your music at? Like, will people get your stuff at? And do you have any merchandise?
Well, right now they can... download it on the Bandcamp. It's like $5 for the EP. I have physicals. I haven't uploaded it to the Bandcamp yet, so I just been like having people hit me up on Instagram if they want physicals, and I can get those out to them as well. It's on all the platforms. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all those platforms. for streaming, and like then you can purchase them there as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what about your group? The your group that you have that you're part of, is that something that's active or something that you just did and it's no longer going down?
No. Yeah, we're still active. We're actually working on a new album as well. Yeah, it's definitely still active. I've been part of that crew since about 99. And like I said, we dropped about 3 full length albums. We had another one that we did in the beginning that we never dropped. So we're always working on music. We're always, well, pre-pandemic, we would always be out performing, doing shows, you know, getting our live chops up. And we're always in the studio doing something. Like, we're three. Well, it's actually myself, my homie Clockwise, his brother Subs, who does production, and his girl Nat. But as far as the MCs go, it's just me and him. And we're all grown, you know, we all got our own families. We got, you know, things we got to take care of. So we still make time to do the music, and we're still going to be dropping some new shit as well. So, you know, it may seem like from 99 till now, we only have 3 albums, you know. It's just with us, it's always just been, you know, quality over quantity. And, you know, we're going to do it at our own pace. And when it comes out, it's going to be dope, though. So it might take a few years to get out there, but when we drop it, it's going to be quality and good music. So that's always been our philosophy. Again, you know, maybe we should have been put out more albums in that length of time. But, you know, like I said, everybody's journey is different.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Let's step outside the box real quick. So with some of your artists you mentioned, some of your influences, I think you mentioned Project Bload, you mentioned LL Cool J, who else was it? It was Project Bload.
Chino XL.
Okay. Chino XL, we're going to do a versus. Chino XL versus who? Think about it, brother.
Shit. That's a hard one.
Yeah. Well, we could double back. Give me some, who's one of your favorites out of the Project Bload?
Probably Micah.
Okay.
Micah's the illest.
Versus, yeah. Micah 9 versus who?
Shit. I like to see it would probably be Wag, but I like to see Micah versus Peace. I think that Micah would just be fucking sick. I know they're the same crew, but that would just be sick for me.
I'm trying to hook up one with Volume 10 and AC Alone.
Oh, shit. That'd be another good one.
AC ain't been getting back at me. I've been trying to hook that up. So I've called him. When I hang up from you, I'm going to call him again. And because Volume 10 said he wanted to do it. He said he wants to have that. So I said, all right. He said, MC, if you can hook it up. So I'm going to hit AC up again. So let's double back, because I can't let you off the hook, brother. You're a good guy. You're a cool guy. You're a great guy. The word man. Got your new album out. I love all of that. But Chino XL versus who, my brother?
Who can hang with them? Let me think. Shit.
What is the brother name? And it's another guy, and he's out of New York, and he do a lot of political raps. I can't think of his name.
Immortal Technique?
Yeah. Well, what about that? You think that'll work?
Yeah, I mean, that could work, but I think Chino would. I can't think of somebody who could actually hang with Chino. That's just like one of my influences. Like, that dude was like crazy dope to me, you know, back in the day. And still, like, he dropped new shit recently, and it's mind-blowing, you know? I don't know a lot of people who could even hang with that dude. I don't even know who would be up to, you know, his caliber as far as MCs go.
Okay, so shit. Just, if you can think about it before the show is over, we'll get back to that.
So just
in general, what versus, I mean, commercial artists, underground, whoever, what versus battle would you like to see? Just in general, shit. Just any artist.
Damn, you're catching me off guard with that one.
You haven't thought about it? Like me, I would like to see Nas and Ice Cube. That's what I would like to see. I think that music is kind of similar to me, you know.
Right.
Nas a little more shy, I guess. He's not as public as Cube, which Cube is really not even that public, but I just think that music, I think that would be dope, Ice Cube and Nas to do something like that, because they both go back.
I think so too. I think Ice Cube and Ice-T would be dope too, because they're both like OGs and they both have like fucking phenomenal careers, you know. Mm-hmm. straight up longevity. I think that would be dope. You know, Ice-T and both of those guys were like one of my favorites growing up. I used to love them. I still love their shit.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, once again, let's go back to LL, because they've been online debating for a while about him having one, and they're talking about him and KRS-One, and I don't think that'd be a cool one, but Swiss Beat is trying to push that. He keeps saying, yeah, this is the one, and I'm sure he knows a lot more than me, but I think it would be entertaining. I don't think KRS-One and LL would, you know.
I think it would be entertaining, but I think KRS would take it, in my own personal opinion, but I think it would be no question, but I think it would be entertaining.
I just think LL, his one, we used the word palette, I guess, earlier, or arsenal. I just think his range is a lot bigger than for him to be just sitting there going with KRS-One, you know? KRS-One. Shit, I would have to think of somebody else for him, but it would probably be somebody more so underground that, you know, not as commercial as LL had been, you know, that's why I would think somebody like for KRS-One would work.
Okay. What about, the Fellowship versus Bone?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that one.
That would be dope.
That's my answer for that one.
Okay, so so you're gonna give me a substitute instead of the Chino XL. We're gonna take the substitute. Okay. All right, let's switch reels. Let's talk some politics. I put up in my last post, I put up something about, you know, how I felt about, you know, Wednesday, which is 2 days from now, and this this inauguration. And I was talking about if Trump, you know, if it was a civil war, could he win? And I think just in general, I don't think he could win if it was hypothetically speaking. But I said, how could he win? And my conclusion was I hadn't heard anybody even speaking about the possibility of him maybe, selling the country out and making a deal with a foreign country to come on in and help me out, you know? So that was something that was just my thing. But what do you think about the potential of civil war on Wednesday at this inauguration, or the potential? What do you think? Honestly, what's your thoughts on this whole what's going on, what happened, and what can possibly happen this Wednesday?
I don't know. I don't really think civil war would really crack off. Like, I think they're pumping it up, you know, just to have to build that fear in people. You know, I don't see it happening. Personally, but who am I? I don't know. I think the media just pumps up a lot of bullshit just to get people scared and compliant. And I don't really buy too much into what I don't really watch the news too much. I just don't buy into what they're selling, to be honest.
So what happened at the Capitol in Washington D.C. last Wednesday? You think that was hype? You think that was some stage thing or what? Because I mean, they got a lot of footage of it. If they're staging that, they got a nice production company to do all of that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's staged, but I don't know. I just, like, I saw some stuff where they were just, the cops are just letting them walk in and stuff, you know? Like,
well, that's the privilege. That's what they call privilege. You know, not only that, I'm not even gonna just say totally white privilege. Look at it was a numbers game. It was, they were just totally outnumbered. They were just totally outnumbered. That's one thing. You know, the you could put the white privilege in it, but the numbers meant more, I think. Well, I'm not even going to say that, because I honestly think if it was black people, some gunshots would have been going off. You know, I really do.
Yeah, definitely they would have. I don't even think they would have even got as far as they got, you know, but well, I don't know, man. I think it's all bullshit. I think both sides don't give a shit about people. I mean, you know, I don't know what they're doing. And I think it's all bullshit. You know, I think it is a small group of wealthy people who go into a room and decide, you know, what's good for the country, you know. And I just don't think either side, left or right, really has the people in mind when they're making these decisions and doing what they're doing, you know. So I just don't really... I don't really fuck with either side. I don't really get too much into it.
Okay, well we're gonna step away from that and get back to something that you love. So who would you like to do some collaborations with? Like, give me maybe a couple of different artists that you like to collaborate with. Be sure you include a female too. So give me some artists, maybe two or three different artists that you would just love to collaborate with. Like, you know, just like, man, this would be cool if I could do this collab with this person.
I'd love to collab with Brother Jay. Definitely. That's one of my top 10 at least. I would also, I'd love to collab with Micah 9. I think that would be dope as fuck too. As far as a female goes, shit, I like Raw Digger. I think that would be cool. I'd like to collab with Raw Digger.
Mm-hmm. I played, speaking of Raw Digger, I played a game of Spades. You know I play Spades? Like, it's a card game. I played Spades.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I played Spades with her, me and my son, and they got what they call it, you know, when you get all of the books the first hand. The very first, we played one game of Spades, the very first hand, a Boston. They call it a Boston. They got a Boston on us. The very first hand, that was it. I'm sitting down with Rod Digger like, yeah, we got to play some Spades. One hand, you out of here. Get on, you know. Micah 9, have you met Micah 9 and everything?
I've met him, you know, at shows. I've seen him at shows and whatnot.
But I'm saying, have you chopped it up with him? Have you talked to him?
Not like that, no. You know,
well, I know him, and I'm gonna jam your music. I'm gonna talk to him. I'm gonna see if I can make that happen, brother. You know, I'm gonna talk to Micah 9. Mike is one of the, like I said earlier, I don't know if I was talking. No, I was talking to my nephew, and I said I don't think I get the props and the credit I deserve from the Project Blow family, but is a couple of people that always stood strong for me, and that was Micah 9 and Abstract. You know, those two people really always kind of, Mike, I had a show one time, you know, at they was headlining, I think it was at the airliner, and I'm up there rapping, and the crowd wasn't paying me a 2 cents attention. They was talking loud and everything. Mike ran up on the stage. Excuse me, Emperor. You know, Mike is real. He has a very good personality. Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I have the mic for a moment? He stood up. Hey. Hey, you know, now the name, this Mike, everybody paying attention. He the headline on the show, you know, the fellowship. This is Imperator. And you're going to pay him some respect. He's an OG. Da 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 da. Well, he went off on the crowd, hand me the mic. Here you go, Imperator. Continue your show.
That's cool, man.
And now I have the attention, you know. But right. my music has always been more, I think, more street. And I didn't get into the flow. I wasn't like a weed head, and I just didn't hang out. I was always trying to hustle. So I was more so solo bolo. So I just didn't really click up and fit in so much. So I think that might be it. And even a skill set, you know, they got a whole nother skill set and style and stuff that they do. So we do two different things, but I just thought for the longevity and being there and supporting, that's my big thing. When people support you, you should support them too. Now, if they garbage, it's a different story. And I seriously doubt that I'm garbage, you know, and I got new music and stuff I'm gonna be dropping soon. You know, I've been putting a lot of old stuff up. So I haven't done no music in a while. I'm on my films, and I got something I'm gonna drop in February, but it's something outside the box. Like, you know, it's definitely something outside the box. So anything else you'd like to talk about, my brother, while we're here? While I got you on here, what's on your mind with hip-hop, the state of hip-hop? Do you listen to new music? If so, what are some of the new artists you're listening to? How is your kids? You got your kids. Who they listening to? And do y'all ever roll and they're playing something, you like, ah, or if you playing something, they like, ah, or do y'all, when you roll together, do y'all kind of play some music, switch, will you play a little bit, let me play a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, they're still kind of young, they're 9 and 12.
Okay.
So 12, yeah, the 12-year-old, he's not really hardcore into music, but we take trips, you know. Of course, I'm always going to play my shit, because I'm always trying to expose him to the good shit, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he gets on YouTube. He watches a little YouTube videos. So he hears, you know, music that they play in gaming videos and whatnot. So he might want to listen to it. So I'll give him a chance, because I know when I was young, my mom wasn't having that shit. And I'm always trying to put a tape in the car, play some hip hop. And she's like, nah, you know. So I try to let him, you know, do his thing. You know, I'll give it a chance, you know. I mean, I got to be honest, a lot of the new stuff, I don't really feel. And, you know, I kind of feel like, well, I remember, you know, these guys are like, what, 17, 18, like, you know, and I'm in my 40s, so there's not much that they can say that's going to really speak to me, you know? So, I mean, I don't really there's some, you know, some of the newer cats that I've heard that I've liked, but as far as like bumping their whole albums and stuff, like I might find a track or two that I like on YouTube and I'll be like, oh, this is dope. Okay. And then I'll go check out their whole album. And I was just like, oh, you know, there's not too much there. So I don't want to sound like an old bitter guy, but I just, it doesn't really speak to me, you know, and I can't front and act like it does if it doesn't. But that's not to knock anybody. I mean, that's their generation. You know, I was in my generation and I was hardcore about the music I was bumping in my generation, and you know, they feel the same way about their stuff. So I mean, I can't really knock it, but it doesn't really speak to me too much, to be honest.
So what have you been bumping lately in your car when you drive? And like, what are some of the artists and songs that you've been playing as of lately?
I'm not gonna lie, man, I'm old school. I bump my old shit, you know.
I know, but who, like, what artists or songs is it a go-to, or you just got a random, do you do Pandora or something and you just got a old school?
No, I got one of those in my car. It has the adapter for the thumb drives. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, during the pandemic, my whole CD collection, because I still got all my CDs, I collect CDs, I collect my tapes, I still have my old tapes, I got a little bit of vinyl, you know, I like to collect that stuff. So recently, all my CDs are all on my on an external drive, you know, and so I just go through that and I'll put whatever I want on my little thumb drive to put in my car, you know, all the classics, you know. Mm-hmm. I got the Fellowship on there, I got De La Soul, Tribe, Poor Righteous Teachers, Ice Cube. I just got the Lynch Mob's first album on CD again. That's one of my favorites. I like all the Quick and the old school AMG second.
You got any Grouch on there?
Oh yeah, I got some Grouch.
Simple Man, that's my joint. The Simple Man. Boy, that's my
I got Fuck the Dumb. I got that album on there. Mm-hmm. I got a few Eli CDs on there as well. You know, so I mean, right or wrong, that's just what I listen to. You know, I don't delve too much into the newer stuff. I don't know. It's not my thing. I got a lot of homies that try to put me up on stuff, and like, I just don't have that desire like when I was young to go find new stuff. You know, because it was just different back then. You had to dig and find stuff. You know, there wasn't the internet, and you know, it's just like. Even like Spotify and all that, I have Spotify. I don't hardly ever use it, you know, and they have most every album you could ever want. And it's just like, to me, it's not tangible because it's not in my hand. It's not, you know, it's not a CD. If the internet went down tomorrow, like all those shits you downloaded on there are gone. You know, at least with my CDs, they're tangible and I got them. And it feels like cheating to me, you know, to have everything at your fingertips so easily on Spotify. And I'm just weird that way, man. I don't use it.
You know, let me tell you what happened to me the other day. And it's regarding MF Doom. And then we want to speak about him, too. Actually, let's talk about MF Doom first. Are you an MF Doom fan?
Yeah, definitely. Doom was dope.
Yeah, what's some of his favorite joints? And just in general, what can you tell me about MF Doom?
I gotta say that I loved KMD. That was my shit, man. Mr. Hood, that was like my shit. Peach Fuzz and all that, man. And Black Bastards, that was my shit, you know. Mm-hmm. I liked him as Doom as well too, but I'm not gonna front like I was a hardcore fan, you know. Like I had everything he had. I liked him and I thought he was dope. He's a dope producer. He's a sick genius on the mic. I liked his old shit. And I was more of a KMD fan, to be honest.
I've recently, you know, my girl, she got, you know, we older, and she got, you know, pains and stuff. So I was looking on the internet, and I saw something that came up with Don Lemon from CNN, and it says Don Lemon, Big Pharma, is on his ass now because he's got this CBD oil. And he's cutting the prices. Like, you can get this CBDBR for free right now if you just, you know, log on and you get it. So I did the research. I'm scrolling now. They got Halle Berry. They got Bill Murray. They got different celebrities that saying they endorsed it. So I did a quick little thing. I said, okay, cool, I'm going to do it. I'll get online. I ordered it. I'm ordering this for her because it's supposed to, this pain, they got all these people talking about how good it is, right? The CBD oil. So I call my girl and I'm telling her. She said, well, you got to watch it. Those be scams. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, it's something came up. She told me it was a scam. She said, she told me to make a couple of calls. And when I started looking, I'm like, damn, I can't find a phone. Oh, this. So then it made sense. So basically they ran a scam on me, right? So I called them. I called them. They canceled. And I end up, she said, well, just go ahead and cancel your debit card. So I canceled my debit card. Now, get on the computer the next day. MF Doom's last wishes. They got MF Doom on there. His last wishes is to share his secret to his pain. I clicked it. These people are taken. They took MF Doom picture and did the same thing. They got this story up there. I'm not 100% sure, but I would say I'm 90, 95% sure that this is a scam. It's the same thing. They had them same other people up under it, the Halle Berry, the Bill Murray, a couple of, but they got it. MF Doom was in so much pain, and this all is was his last dying testament was to share this with you guys. And I just felt it was just so screwed up that they're doing that. But they're probably in some foreign country, and they figured out some type of program that they can just keep. I'm sure Facebook will shut them down because I reported the shit, but I'm sure they'll shut them down. But I'm certain, you know, they done figured out some kind of strategy. No worries, they shut that down. Here come another one. You know, but I just felt that was kind of scandalous that man just died and they're using his name like that, you know. And I had put, if anybody know his family, please share this link and tell them what these people are doing. So, you know, they're hustlers, but that's a certain hustle I wouldn't do, you know. So that's something that I thought was just foul. But I wanted to speak on it. But brother, look, we can wrap it up. And, you know, like I said, if you got any in closing words, can you share any links? Be sure you text me or send me your links because I want to put your stuff up there. I'll talk to Mike Anon, you know, tell him you're dope. I want to point him on to your music and tell him, you know, that the brother really would like to do a song with you. And I think it'd be dope because I heard your music. I'm going to share your music with him. And I'm looking forward to getting him on this show.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to get. Well, this is what I think is more so besides the fans. I think this is helping us to network, you know, and share ideas. But the thing, like I said, what we have to understand is I see some of us are like this. They just keep on saying, yeah, give me, support me. But then when I look, they ain't doing a damn thing for what I'm doing, you know, and I'm like, come on, man, we got to help each other. Stop thinking it's just about help me, because a lot of them have the mentality, no, we're in competition. But I said, we are rappers over 30. If we support each other and start sharing the word and stop thinking that competition, then we'll be in competition with these other people, because that's who it is. They already winning. So I'll be looking and I'm like, why y'all keep sharing all these people? And I got a platform that can help us, but I'm looking and you're sharing. I love these people who you're doing, but you're not sharing something that's built and designed to help us out. The other thing is I'm looking into doing, and I want you to get on this platform too. I'm looking into doing very soon Rappers Over 30 online concerts. And the way I want to structure it is where you'll have a Cash App or something where when you come up, like I want to have it like okay, Imp is performing, okay, Mike Anon's performing, okay, Wordman is performing. But when each one of you guys, when I switch over to you guys and you're performing, your Cash App will be there, whatever, be there, and that'll be the way you can get compensated, you know. So I'm trying to put that together. And my thing is, I want it to be a show. I don't want just standing there like this. I want it to be something. I ain't telling nobody you got to get up there and dance, but I'm saying be creative, and just like how your intro got me, and have somebody like this, like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I don't want just blah, you know. That's just my preference. I can't, as an artist, I can just say this is my preference, but as an artist, do what you like. But I would prefer that if people really try to make something that when people look at it, it's going to look very interesting and look like, make them want to say, you know what, let me chip this brother off something. So that's going to be coming, I would say, in the next 2 months, as far as me figuring this out on how I'm going to do it and how it's going to look good and run smoothly. And each person that come up, their Cash App or PayPal, something, donation button, I'll be right there so people can pay them, and we're going to promote it and everything. So, in closing words, I'm sorry, I didn't talk too much. So, any closing words?
Just want to give a shout out to my children first, my son Charlie, my son Michael, my Crop Circle crew, Clockwise Subs, Nat, my Echoes of Oratory family, Roughneck Jihad, Rhyme Apes, Stereotype, Gilead 7, Audio, and just all the people out there who support us and, you know, click on our shit and share our shit. Much respect to you guys. Respect to you. Thank you for, you know, sharing your platform with me and giving me this opportunity to maybe reach some ears who've never heard of me before and maybe spark some interest on my bugged out cover and whatnot. And, you know, thanks for having me on. Thanks for doing what you do and trying to help all of us out who are over 30 and keep pushing the culture forward. Appreciate you.
You got it, brother. And one last thing, my biggest, when I look at my analytics, the biggest audience for this, it actually grew. At one point, it was 54%, 56%, and last I checked, it was 62%. The biggest listeners and people who download this podcast are in India.
That's crazy. I did another interview with a friend of mine who was doing a podcast. He told me the same thing, that India's popping as far as like hip-hop goes. And I guess this type of music we're doing, it's popping over there for some reason. So.
Okay,
well, shouts out to India.
One day, India, if y'all listen out there, you be sure to go check out The Word Man. And maybe one day The Word Man and Mike Anand can perform that song that ain't made yet on stage in India. How that sound to y'all?
India, let's do it, man. Let's make it happen. India, all right, brother. Hit me up.
I appreciate you, brother. Take care. And this podcast will be up this Thursday.
Okay, Rappers Over 30, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Rappers Over 30 podcast. Be sure to share it with your friends. Go to the show notes for links and more information on The Word Man. If you'd like to make a contribution, you can Cash App, $ Rappers Over 30. Be sure you spell the word 30 out. That's $ Rappers Over 30, the symbol $ Rappers Over 30. It's been fun. Join my email list. Leave comments, spread the word, and I'll see you all next week. To make a great dream come true, the first requirement is a great capacity to dream. The second is persistence. Cesar Chavez.